Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin AC, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres, Braves. Yes, it's the Braves. After a long Monday for the Braves, not for the Padres, find out that the Braves will be coming here for the wild card series, best of three. Tonight, Michael King versus someone, I think Bryce Elder. We don't have the rosters yet as we tape this at 10 o'clock. Rosters are due. New York, the league office has the roster, but we have not seen it. But oh well. Where would you like to start, Ryan?
I guess we start with this. You know, Kevin, we've been talking a few times a week since February. The games matter now, right? half of all teams who play this weekend or this week will see their seasons end. You know, two teams enter, one team leaves. And I think the Padres caught a break. I really do. In playing the Atlanta Braves, who had to go through sort of the day from hell yesterday, a team that I'd much rather face than, frankly, the New York Mets. And maybe even I'd rather face them than the Arizona Diamondbacks. I think that this is lined up about as well as humanly possible for the Padres.
Yeah, I don't think that these things aren't tracked, right? Like, but it's hard to imagine that on paper, a team was in a more advantageous situation than the Padres are. They're right. Rested. The Braves are not. The Braves' top two relievers, Raisel Iglesias, Joe Jimenez, both pitched yesterday. Both pitched twice yesterday in their doubleheader because the Braves had to win the second game. So all of their players played, you know, 18 innings or 17 and a half as they were able to win that game to make it to the postseason. Braves are without Chris Sale, who has back spasms, maybe other stuff, who knows, but that's the presumptive NL Cy Young winner. And then we can go back. The Braves are beat up anyway. They don't have, but they haven't for a while, had Austin Riley, their all-star third baseman, Ronald Acuna Jr., the reigning NL MVP. He's been out with the ACL. They don't have Spencer Strider, but they haven't had those guys all season. But this version of the Braves team that made the playoffs, is not the Braves team that is in the playoffs, at least not for this wild card round. And they're just going to have a tough time.
Right. Now, what do we make of Chris Sale? He was initially supposed to start yesterday's game two in that doubleheader, which was a must-win game for Atlanta. They announced about a half hour before that he would not be starting because of what they deemed back spasms. He hasn't pitched in 2 weeks. His velo was way down when he did. Is this somebody who we will anticipate seeing at some point in this series, or do we think
not on the roster? He's not on the roster.
Oh, he's not on the roster. Not
their roster. But yesterday, and this isn't the kind of thing. This isn't like gamesmanship. Their manager Brian Snitker said that he didn't think you'd see him, and like that. Just he's not the guy who's gonna like, oh, gotcha. Chris Sale's gonna be pitching game three for us. So Chris Sale's not on the roster. It would take a major thing. You would have to prove an injury basically to another player to put Chris Sale in there. That'd be some serious gamesmanship. It does not seem that's what the Braves are doing here. Not going to see him, and that really, really helps the Padres. Look, it's a playoff team. It's guys that, like Bryce Elder, like they crushed Bryce Elder back in May. You know who else they did pretty well against back in May? Max Fried. Max Fried has a 3 ERA since then. Right. He'll probably be game two starter with Reynaldo Lopez, who also, I think, was 6 1/3, one run, or maybe two runs, one earned, against the Padres when they played their four-game series. The Padres took 3 of 4 in Atlanta in May before the Braves took 2 of 3 in San Diego in July before the Padres started playing like this version of the Padres. So, no. But my point, man – this would be a major upset, which from Padres fans' perspective then means it'd be a major choke job.
Right. And I think that if you're a Padres fan of a certain age, if you're somebody who grew up watching them lose wild card series to the Cardinals over and over again, I think you go, you know, you sort of whistle through the graveyard a little bit when you face a team like the Braves, who on paper you're supposed to beat. But the reality is this year's Padres team has been about the most consistent team they've had in a very long time, especially since the All-Star break. This is not a team prone to extended lapses, poor streaks. I mean, this gives them their best chance to win a World Series since 1998, probably, right?
Yes, I think that what you just brought up. Yes, their bullpen. Yes, the way their rotation is pitching, or at least the pitchers that will be used in this series. And then you could take it out to 4, which would be Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish will be out of the bullpen this series as the Padres go with Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease, if necessary, Dylan Cease. Mm-hmm. But So beyond that, and the fact that their offense has been fairly consistent, not great, but fairly consistent, and able to, you know, in their words, score one more run than the opponent. The what you mentioned, like their sort of their makeup, their resilience. I'm reading into what you said.
Yes, thank you.
The consistency, the ability to bounce back from a bad loss, which you do need in the playoffs. You're going to have one, right? You're not going to sweep through with, hold on. What is it? 13 victories that they would need. And so you're not going to go 13-0. So to get to, you know, your parade, but I was covering the Angels in 1998. I was 13 years old in 1984. That 96 team was supposed to be pretty good, right? Before one of those traumatic Cardinals losses for you, right? Those were in your teens and your 20s. So yes, by many measures, this would seem to be them being best situated. I got to imagine, and when I say that, Sam, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, many well-situated teams have not won the World Series.
Yes. How deep is this Padres team? This team is so deep that Yu Darvish isn't in the starting rotation for a three-game series. You look at the Padres opening up tonight with Michael King. Tomorrow night, it will be Joe Musgrove in what will either be a chance to eliminate Atlanta or, frankly, a chance to stave off elimination. And then you go to Dylan Cease in game three. If this was going to be the plan, were you surprised at all by the order of things and that Yu Darvish will be either coming out of the bullpen or not pitching at all?
No, this is the one that made sense, though they could have gone either way. So I wasn't willing to like hazard a guess with any confidence because they really could have gone either way. Dylan Cease is either going to give you like 7 shutout innings. I'm exaggerating, but I'm making a point. Or, you know, you might give up 4-6, and that's not what you want. So your most consistent guy who has been giving you, let's just say his average or close to it is like 6 innings and 1 run, or let's say 6 innings and 2 runs is your average. And that's kind of almost like if you had to make a bet on what Michael King is going to give you, that's it. So this did make sense. But you know what? Joe Musgrove made sense too, because Joe Musgrove is big game Joe. But Big Game Joe has a chance to close it out tomorrow is what they're hoping. So, and then Dylan Cease is your starter for the division series against the Dodgers if it goes the way that the Padres hope it to go.
Right. When you write your book on the 2024 season called, what's the working title? Is it What If I Told You by Kevin Acey or Where's Tommy Pham? I don't know what the working title here is. There could be a whole chapter, I think, dedicated to Michael King. You know, what if I told you in February that Michael King would be their game one starter for a team that won more than 90 games in the playoffs and that the Padres would be heavily favored? This speaks really to the season that he has had. What has made him so good?
I think it's mentality, because a lot of guys have talent. So clearly the guy has 4, maybe 5 pitches, but he's got 4 pitches. He's got 2 really good pitches, and he has the mentality and the desire to learn. He is a really nice guy who is, I don't want to say he's not a jerk on the field, but man, he's a competitor on the field. Like, he wants to beat you. And these are things that you go, oh, okay, well, yeah, no, like this guy, like he's one of those. And he cares. I mean, the way that you hear people talk about him, this is a guy who can lead a rotation in the future, right? Like that he can be the guy, the Joe Musgrove that people are looking to, right? For advice. And he cares, and he's a spokesman, and he knows what's needed. And that's one of the things about being a starting pitcher, is you have to learn what's needed. When do I need to throw up a 0? When do I need to take my lumps a little bit? Because no one wants to give up runs. But when do I need to just try to get through 6? Something that Joe Musgrove is so good at, just getting through 6. Going to give up 3, going to give up 4, going to give up 5, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's what got Michael King to this point. This is, you know what? He could still be that guy and not be over 170 innings. I mean, that's remarkable what he's done this year.
Tomorrow will be an elimination game for somebody, and Joe Musgrove will be pitching in it. It's almost too delicious, right? Putting Joe Musgrove in that thing at home with possibly a chance to clinch a playoff series. I think it's a good spot for him.
Maybe the third time he's done it. Let's say they win tomorrow and they're popping the champagne. He was the starter and winner in the epic, and that's not an exaggeration, the epic wild card game three in 2022. He was the starter and went six innings, I think gave up a run against the – he did not figure in the decision against the Dodgers in game four of the division series. Mm-hmm. And so he could do it again tomorrow. I want to make one point, and it's a point that you shouldn't get to make because it's ifs, right? The biggest word in the English language, if. But Joe Musgrove, since he came back, nine starts. Mm-hmm. He has a 2.15 ERA.
Okay.
Six of those runs came without him getting an out in that one inning against the Giants.
Yep.
So six of the 12 runs are, well, I don't know what it is, but six of the runs that he gave up. Mm-hmm. I do know this. Take out that inning, which of course you can't do. But let's just, because it was such a freak show that it happened in 10 pitches, three home runs, no outs, seven straight guys reach base. Mm-hmm. I think it's, if you could ever take it out, this is it, right? Because that was just like this weird happening. So take that out. Since Joe Musgrove is back, nine starts, 49 and a third innings, 1.09 ERA. If you wow. take out those six runs in that whatever stretch, that would like that, that would be up near like the best, 49 and a third inning runs in a long, long time in the major leagues. That's how good Joe Musgrove has been since he's been back.
Sure. Is there a chance Yu Darvish isn't on the wild card roster, or do we anticipate? No, he will be
because Mike Schilt wouldn't have said it.
Okay.
Schilt wouldn't have said it. There's certain things. When a guy doesn't say anything ever, when he does say something, you go, taking that to the bank.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. So he will be available to come out of the bullpen if needed. He's indicated a willingness to do that if needed.
And they would love for him to not, because then there you go. He and Dylan Cease are fresh. I mean, they're in better shape than the Dodgers going in the next series then.
Sure. And again, the division series against the Dodgers starts Saturday night in Los Angeles.
If the Padres are there. Remember, we don't want to assume anything, Ryan. I know that's not what you were doing.
If Atlanta's
there,
I just want to
make sure that it can't come back on us. That, even the San Diego media was talking about the Padres getting past the Braves. So, nope, we were not.
Let's real quick go over what today's starting lineup could be. Do we anticipate any changes, anything strange? Braves would be starting a right-hander, correct?
Yes, they have all right-handers.
Okay, so that would, well, wow. So the Padres, interesting. So it would be your standard lineup where both Arise and Cronenworth are there.
Oh, wait, you know what? I'm sorry. I want to make sure that I have
the lefty. Freed the lefty. Yeah.
Max Fried is very famously a lefty. I apologize. Yes.
Former Padre Max Fried. But you would anticipate your standard Padres lineup against a righty today?
Yes, I would. I can't imagine why they would do anything, though it's always in your head, right, that people do crazy things or like some little tweak for the postseason. Maybe something they've been thinking about all year and like, okay, now's the time to do it. But why when – for the most part, once they've made changes throughout their lineup, but not like radical ones that then didn't stick. Jackson Merrill methodically moved up the lineup, went to five. People were like, oh, that's not that big a deal. No, this one was permanent. So that was a big deal, right? I don't see a reason why they would. They have moved Jake Cronenworth down. Mm-hmm. It's worked really well for most of the season. I don't see Arise, Tatis, Profar, Machado, Merrill, Bogarts, Cronenworth. And then what do you do? You're going against a righty. He has sometimes put Donovan Solano in there against a righty. But David Peralta is your guy that you would think that you would see there. And then Kyle Higashioka.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, so it would be Higashioka behind the plate today for sure, more so than Diaz.
Well, I don't see I see Diaz catching Cease.
Okay.
It's been Higashioka. You're not going to mess up guys at this point. There's no reason to think that's it.
Right. Another chapter of your book will be how Kyle Higashioka had a top five offensive season for a Padres catcher playing half the time.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, man. But that's what happens when you find the Higgy Bank down there
in
left field. That's what they're going to rename that, the Higgy Bank. You got the Petco porch over on the other side. It's the Higgy Bank.
Right. He hits it too. I mean, his home runs almost go to the same section every time.
Not yeah.
I'd buy tickets in whatever that is there in the outfield. Anything we should know about Atlanta outside of that yesterday was a 18-hour day and that they flew out late and all that?
Well, here's where yesterday just really kind of messes things up for them. They have one of the best bullpens in the major leagues. And like I said, their two top guys pitched twice yesterday. Everybody in their bullpen pitched yesterday. Their presumptive game three starter pitched yesterday. They're messed up, man. Mm-hmm. And they limped into the playoffs, but that's an apt word because again, Acuna out, Riley out. So they had injuries they overcame throughout the year. It's a very good team. They have, I believe, 10 guys who have at least 10 home runs. Mm-hmm. That's 10 active guys because Riley's out. Acuna didn't have – he's just had a rough year. So they're a good team. I think they're ranked fifth in the majors in homers, and it's a bunch of guys. But they don't – they're average offensively. They're average. The Padres are better than them in virtually every way, and especially coming into this series.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know that there's sort of the anything can happen in baseball nature of a short series, but Padres do seem to match up with them fairly well.
Do you want to do this live here? So the position players for the Padres, the two catchers, Diaz and Higashioka, Nick Ahmed, Jake Cronenworth, Luis Arraez, Manny Machado, Tyler Wade, Xander Bogaerts, Donovan Solano. I don't really see any surprises there. Brandon Lockridge, Jackson Merrill, David Peralta, Jurickson Profar, Fernando Tatis. No surprises whatsoever. And you're going to go with 12 pitchers because that's what you do. You don't need 13 in a series. I don't see this. Darvish, King, Morahon, Suarez, Cease, Hoeing, Musgrove, Scott, Peralta, Matsui, Estrada, and Adam as your pitchers.
Are we thinking it would be Matsui? Well,
I'll own this that Matsui's on there, and I thought maybe that he wouldn't, that they, if there was going to be like a way that they went, maybe even going 11 pitchers or bringing up Sean Reynolds but look, let's say you get down 11-0, mm-hmm. You are going to have your mush guy, right? You are going to have your guy that you put out there. Because you're not putting Yuki Matsui out there unless you ended up playing 3 14-inning games.
So just off the top of your head, no real surprises there. I mean, Ahmed making the club, I guess, makes some sense. Can be a late-inning defensive replacement. Lockridge making the club, you had been writing for weeks that was an inevitability. Yeah. Tyler Wade on the roster. So yeah, these are their guys. They are rolling with their guys into this series.
Yep, that's it. And any questions? Look, bottom of the roster, the reason that it's the playoffs and like everything matters, right? And you wonder, hey, could they have used this guy, this pinch hitter or whatever? They've got all their guys. They got all their guys for every situation.
The reality is too, is that they've shortened things up. Their bullpen consists in games that matter. Their bullpen consists of Adams, Scott, Suarez, Morahone, and Estrada, right? And has been at least for the last couple of weeks.
Maybe five guys, and I just want to say, Jason Adam.
Yes, did I say Adams?
Well, yes, I'm not going to say it out loud because then I'll say it. Because all year I have Jason Adam, two first names. Tanner Scott, two first names. And just got, don't get in my head. Jason Adam. Okay. Because he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah. At all surprised that Luis Campusano's not there, that they didn't go to three catchers?
Not surprised. It was something I had alluded to as a possibility as they were among the things they were considering. They carried three catchers in 22. Every roster or every team is different. That was different. They didn't really have anybody else. So they have other options. There's not really a thing of why you would put Campusano in there, really. The one thing is, Mike Schilt has not been shy at all about subbing in his catcher, which then leaves you with no catchers on the bench, which guys have been reluctant to do because of that 1 in 1,000 time where then the second guy's going to get hurt and you're screwed. And just thinking maybe in the playoffs that you would think like you could do that. But look, You've covered your infield guy with Ahmed, right? That's defense only. You've got your pinch runners and potential defense, but mostly pinch runners. Well, Brandon Lockridge defense on defensive replacement in the outfield, but Lockridge and Wade is your pinch runners. You've got your pinch hitters, depending on who isn't in the game, Solano, Peralta, obviously one of the backup catchers if he doesn't play. But you know, you try to keep them until the very end. They're covered.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are. They are. Is Nick Ahmed a second baseman now? Or was that just a one-time thing on Saturday?
Yeah, he's both. I mean, he always has been, obviously, a shortstop. But he's here to be able to play in the event of injury or what have you, some wild thing they've got to do in the 10th or inning or something. He's here to play either position.
Yeah, he made a great play going to his right in that Saturday game to preserve what was at the time a, say it with me, Kevin, no hitter by Randy Vasquez.
There were a couple plays where you said, oh my gosh, as if this matters, but that'd be awesome for Randy Vasquez. There were a couple plays there where you're like, wow, those were no hitter type of plays.
Yes, 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 yes. It was interesting. That was a huge game. It's funny. You look back, you know, it was a split squad game for the Padres. It ended the Diamondbacks season. I mean, yes. Effectively.
Yes.
You know, if the Diamondbacks win that game, it's a different conversation we're having today, including the fact that the Atlanta Braves might not be so gassed coming to San Diego.
I could not. That was the perspective I was coming from, is that be careful what you wish for, right? Like right. In terms of, hey, we don't want to play the Diamondbacks or we would like to play the Diamondbacks or we would like to play the Mets or whatever. Like, but like this one just seemed pretty straightforward. Like you don't want the Diamondbacks to be eliminated. Because right. You want the Braves and or Mets to have to play their butts off on Monday. Like, yeah. I mean, that's not your fault that MLB screwed this up, Padres. Right. You take yes. advantage of it.
And they did. And it's funny. The West Coast guy in me goes, you know, if this happened to the Mets and the Mets had to fly all the way to San Diego and do all of this, maybe there'd be a new rule next year saying that they can't do it. Kevin, before we go, we're at about the 24-minute mark. You've got a busy day ahead of you, obviously, with the Padres playoff opener. I do want to put you on the spot, though, because this may be the last time we talk this year. I hope it isn't. I don't think it will be, but it's possible. Busy few days at Petco Park coming up. Give the folks at home your Petco Park parking or commuting tip.
Oh, man, avoid Imperial. Okay. It's just ugly. It just is. My thing is park, and I don't have any tips for you because I don't know where they are, but park as far away as you can. I mean, it's crazy getting out of there.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be on the East Village side of the ballpark.
Right.
So I'm not averse to paying a little more, but, you know, that's obviously closer. But I'm just saying for ingress and egress, but – I have a very certain way that I look at things because based on my job and getting there 5 hours early and leaving later than, you know, most people, I don't have to deal with it.
Right. That's a great point.
So I look at those taillights at Dodger Stadium or those times when I do leave Petco or back in the day getting out of Qualcomm and I go, whoa, I would walk a mile to my car, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then get out of town. It can be pretty crazy, but my main thing is avoid the East Village. It is a war zone practically. And I don't say that lightly. It depresses me to go through the East Village. And also keep your head on a swivel if you're driving through the East Village.
Right. And you're a loyal 15 to the 94 guy, aren't you?
No, I don't follow my advice, but I'm going at, you know, today I'll be going at noon, right?
Right.
Like I'm going at usually 2 o'clock. Jeff Sanders being there. He, if I've been up till, you know, 5 doing the newsletter, I can go a little later, but, I'm not going on traffic and I, you know, it hasn't quite gotten insane yet with, the folks there, the East Village inhabitants. But I would not do that. Coming out of a game is, I mean, it really is insane.
Wow. Wow. Perfect. Well, you will be there here at noon. I will see you a little bit later in the day, Kevin. We've got full team coverage from tonight's Padre game. Kenny will be there.
I want to say this, Ryan. It's a great question. But the thing about the Padres now, these tickets were almost all scooped up by season ticket members. Mm-hmm. So these people know what they're doing. Like, that's the incredible thing here is that what it has become now is that there were like 1,000 tickets, and most of them were Gallagher Square seats available for each of these games. These are like actual Padre fans. Right. These aren't like bandwagon. There is, of course. I mean, I even know people. Most of my friends don't care about the Padres. And then suddenly everyone starts talking about them and now people are interested. There is still a bandwagon, but not like it used to be. Like, this is legit people that followed the team and invested their money and their time, which I have all the respect for. People that go to 20, 40, 80 games a year, that I got, man, you are into it and good for you.
Absolutely.
Because no, you're right. 150. Right. So
now we'll see how much Brown is in the stadium. If the Padres make it to the division series where they'd have to play the Dodgers, right?
We'll have to look at that again see it, what the Padres do. They did a very good job, both their fans and the team, in limiting the access to Dodgers fans. I was surprised last time in 2022 at how heavy Brown that was. That was, I think, a turning point or a potential turning point for the franchise.
Yeah, absolutely. I still maintain that series clinching game at Petco Park is a top two moment in Padre baseball history, which may say something about Padre baseball history, but I thought it was pretty special.
You're going with Garve?
I guess. Yeah.
Take the man out of it. Take the your feelings about number six being retired out of it. The fact that you retired the number of a Dodger, a man who identifies as a Dodger, by the way. Mm-hmm. That would be a skit on a Saturday Night Live episode mm-hmm. of the Padres. Donald mm-hmm. Trump talking about Steve Garvey having always been a Dodger, but only recently decided that he was a Padre. Anyway, so take that out of it. And put yourself in the place of a 15-year-old franchise, a 13-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. That would be me. For those not watching, see me pointing to myself. And that made the Padres like a thing. That changed what people in San Diego were paying attention to. I was a Yankees fan.
Right.
I grew up that way. Like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was huge. I think you're right. It's Garvey and everything else. And I think you're right. For me, playoff moments, it's real hard to have. You can have Joe Musgrove, no hitter. Mm-hmm. Dylan Cease's no hitter can be somewhere there in the top 10, sure. But it's hard for a postseason moment to be beat. So I think you're right, Ryan.
Right. Tony Gwynn going upper tank at Yankee Stadium, I think, is in that conversation. But you know what? Playoff baseball moments are that much better when they're at home.
Padres fans should hope. Because it's a little cringy to me, though I get it, man. I get it. First off, they should have probably won that game. But when one of your top moments, and this isn't a fan's fault, one of your top moments is a losing freaking game in a series you got swept, you should hope that Gwynn homer keeps going down the list.
Yes. Maybe Mark Langston should get the corner. Dang it, Kevin. Now you got me mad about something that happened 26 years ago. If you'd like to feel old, by the way, the Steve Garvey moment has a significant anniversary here on Sunday, October the 6th. It'll be 40 years. Today, Steve Garvey did that. And so, the playoffs are the times to again, sort of become immortal in the history of a franchise. And who's to say how the rest of the season is going to go, but the Padres have a chance to do some big things. Starting today against the Atlanta Braves, best of three series at Petco Park. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.